Welcome back to this week's edition of the Midweek Reality Check with Michael Pinto, where I try to keep Wall Street and your money real.
The gurus in the mainstream financial media have been saying, don't worry, buy and hold stocks because the economy is going to have a soft landing. They all have adopted this soft landing mantra for the past few quarters. But all of a sudden, in the space of just a few days, these very same people are now saying, there's no need to worry, just keep buying and holding stocks because the Fed is about to engage in a series of panic rate cuts. So how did we go from the soft landing to panic rate cuts? I guess they'll just find any excuse to stay long. It's really disgusting. This is more proof you'll never get honest, independent, or insightful advice from the CNBS crowd. Now, the truth is the Fed has counterfeited trillions of dollars over the past 16 years in pursuit of providing investors a never-ending bull market and ever-expanding GDP growth. And that has engendered negative real interest rates, which in turn spawned enormous record-breaking bubbles in credit, real estate, and equities, all existing concurrently. The meltdown of the past few days is a result of something called the yen carry trade unwind. I'll have much more to say on that next week, but there's too many other things to go over right now. But it's the unwind of the yen carry trade. That is exactly what happened. It's not for any other reason. But for now, it is just illustrative of central banks gone mad and the tenuous state of global markets. Just think of it that way. And turning to the economic data, 249,000 initial jobs claims last week, up from 235,000. It was the highest initial claim since August of 2023. Continuing claims jumped to 1.877 million, up from 1.844 million in the previous week. It's the highest continuing claim since November of 2021. Turning to the ISM manufacturing report, the survey declined further into contractionary territory. It registered 46.8% in July, down 1.7 percentage points from 48.5 recorded in June. The new orders index fell to 47.4 from 49.3, and the unemployment index dropped precipitously to a very weak 43.4 from 49.3. This is the weakest data since June of 2020. The manufacturing sector has contracted for 4 months in a row and for 20 of the last 21 months, so much for the manufacturing renaissance. The non-farm payroll report pooped its pants for July, coming in at only 114,000 net new jobs created versus 206,000 in June and the 175,000 projected from Wall Street gurus. The unemployment rate climbed to 4.3% from 4.1%. The data from the household survey were even worse than the establishment survey. There were only 67,000 net new jobs created in July, while the labor force contracted by 214,000 people. The negative data sent the benchmark U.S. 10-year Treasury below 3.7%. The negative data, along with the panic into treasuries from the unwind of the yen carry trade. Once again, I'll have much more to say about that next week. While the effective Fed funds rate remains at 5.33, so the spread between the effective Fed funds rate, 5.33, and the 10-year treasury, 3.7% a couple of days ago, is outstandingly negative. The bond market is screaming recession, but the stock market's major averages remained overly enthused and infatuated with robust spending on AI. So who has it correct, the bond market or the stock market? The yield curve has been inverted for over 2 years now. It is the longest such inversion in history. This indicator has a perfect predictor for a recession since 1955, with the one exception being in 1965. And there was no recession back then, but GDP growth plunged from 10% to 0.2%. So yeah, it did feel like a recession, and the S&P 500 fell by 20% during that time frame. Meanwhile, even though the bond market is screaming recession, earnings per share projections are through the roof. They're supposed to be up 11% in 2024, this year, and up even further, 14% in 25. There is no way that's going to happen. So try getting that boom in earnings during a recession. Wall Street remains firmly on Fantasy Island when it comes to the economy and earnings. I am siding with the bond market here. You see, Wall Street loves rate cuts at first because a lower return on cash is less competitive for stocks. However, as always, eventually the epiphany arrives that those reduced borrowing costs are very often the reaction function to a faltering economy and crumbling earnings per share growth. Hence, stocks get flushed because the mindset changes from rate cuts are good for stocks to rate cuts are occurring in a manner that is just too little and too late to stop the plunge in GDP growth and earnings. And that is exactly what is beginning to happen right now. If you think the weakness in the labor market will just be temporary, think some more. Remember that nearly two-thirds of all new jobs created since 1995 have been from small businesses. And 40% of the Russell 2000 small cap companies are unprofitable. They remain unprofitable during the era of healthy GDP growth and negative real interest rates. However, money is now expensive and the economy is faltering. So form your own conclusion on the condition of the labor market and where it is heading. Once again, two-thirds of all new jobs are in the small business sector, and these companies are unprofitable now. Just wait a little while longer. These 40% of the Russell 2000 companies are going to be shedding jobs hand over fist. More economic data. Factory orders dropped by 3.3% in June after falling 0.3% in May. Now, just when you think all the data is negative, look at the ISM services sector. That actually rose to 51.4. So it's just not very much fodder for the 50 basis point rate cut, other than the fact that the stock market had a couple of bad days as the yen carry trade unwound. It's just so amazing that, you know, you look at people like Jeremy Siegel calling for panic rate cuts. For what reason? The middle class has already been eviscerated. Home prices are already unaffordable. And they want to go back into the same thing, the same ZERP and QE and helicopter money, because Wall Street had a bad week? It's just so unbelievable. The economy is weak and getting weaker, and that's exactly what we need. We need for inflation to go lower, and we need for speculation to end. Not necessarily a recession, but that's concomitant with falling asset prices and the resetting of debt levels through default. But I want to make this clear. This past week's sell-off, panic, again, it was the yen carry trade, and it is not yet the imminent meltdown of the financial system. We're heading there. It's just not there yet. The current state of U.S. markets is similar to the lead-up of the blow-off top seen in Japan's Nikkei Dow in 1989. For those keeping score, the index is lower today than it was 35 years ago. It also crashed by 60% in the 3 years following the 1989 top. That type of chaos in Japan still exists today, as evidenced by the 17% drop in the Nikkei Dow in just a few days last week before this recent bounce. The U.S. major averages have been boosted by 21 years of negative real interest rates and over $8 trillion increase in the Fed's balance sheet over the past 15 years, and $6 trillion of helicopter money dumped into the economy over the past 4 years. That is why, to me, in my analysis, the U.S. market, the U.S. economy resembles that of Japan. in 1989. And that's why we have these three massive and unprecedented bubbles in housing, credit, and equities. While this is extremely dangerous for most investors, it can be an opportunity for those who have the flexibility to protect their investments from such a crash, just like we did this week. Owning bonds, defensive stocks, physical gold, not the miners necessarily, not now, cash, and yield curve steepeners are some of the ways you can protect your money during disinflation, sector two of the five sector spectrum between deflation and intractable inflation, as the economy begins to weaken. And then adroitly shorting the market during deflations and economic contractions as we head into those four horsemen of the economic apocalypse. The IDEC model is built to identify when the second derivative of inflation and growth indicates that a recession, a liquidity crisis, or both is going to occur in the near future. It is the best way to participate in bull markets while being ever vigilant for bear markets. By the way, the NASDAQ fell 15% in 2 days before this recent anemic bounce. My eyes are wide open. And so should yours.
Thank you so much for listening to this edition of the Reality Check, 5 minutes of sanity in an insane world. Please remember, if you're not already an investor with PPS, you can email me directly using mpento@pentoport.com or call the office using 732-772-9500 to get information about our portfolio services. You should also go to Amazon and order my book, The Coming Bond Market Collapse. Subscribers should contact an investment advisor before acting on any information contained in this podcast. No information on this podcast constitutes an offer to sell or buy any financial instruments or to provide any investment services. Subscribers understand there's an inherent risk in investing. PPS is a registered investment advisor.